Father, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder, soul and spirit, joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, help us by teaching us, leading us, guiding us, bringing us into all truth. Cause us to understand your word. You said, in all you're getting, get understanding. So help us to be able to get that in Jesus' name. Cancel the assignment of the enemy. We know that he is on his way to the lake of fire. That's his ultimate destination. So he should not be here tormenting us. We cancel that assignment from the enemy. Call the blessings of God upon the lives of the people. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer. I am also a doer of God's word. And because I am a doer and not just a hearer of the word of God, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to make a quick announcement. Once we end service today, we're going back to something that we used to do before because folks, you know, have been asking about it. We will set up two chairs here, and my wife and I will be there to greet those that would like to be able to greet us and be able to pray for those that maybe have a prayer request or whatever. We're not going to keep you all afternoon. We're not going to be there all afternoon, but we'll be there for just a few moments so you can be able to spend some time talking to your pastor and wife. All right, so we'll do that after service. Say amen to that. Praise God. All right. Go in your Bibles with me to at least one place. I can't get to the word that I got to teach because I got to give the intro first. As I told you, we're studying the subject called faith. Simply the word faith. And what does it mean? Now, I'm going to give some definitions. This is, of course, as I said to you before, this is becoming a book that I am actually reading, and a lot of what I'm teaching I need to include so that it can be included in the manuscript of the book. But, and that's how I usually write books, is I usually preach the books and then write and edit them afterwards. But this is an important subject because everyone is given a measure of faith, not just believers, and that's why you are able as a sinner to still become a Christian, no matter what kind of sinner you are. Folks on death row have become believers in Jesus Christ. Because every person, God allows us to all start out fair on the planet with a measure of faith. Now, how big is that measure? It's big enough to get you saved. Then once you become saved, you're supposed to add to your faith or to increase your faith, and there's ways to do that. Faith, though, comes by hearing, and this is why we should be in a atmosphere like this on a regular basis. And I just say, if you're strung up in a hospital, you're in traction, and you got to be able to watch the service, that's fine. But there's something about being in the atmosphere of faith, being where the words are coming forth, because the atmosphere also becomes charged by faith being in the room. So things begin to change. I don't know about you, but I love to control my atmosphere. I learned that a while ago. I especially learned that when God allowed me to see heaven, how that atmosphere is so controlled with music, with praise to the Lord. And that was the thing that I noticed most of anything else. And God shared with me, you know, just the colors of heaven, and the atmosphere is just awesome. It's just coming to the gates as I first did, and it's amazing. And hearing all of those voices, and I heard the voices of angels and others singing about the Lord, and it's just amazing to be able to control your atmosphere. So you need to be in the atmosphere of faith. Don't let anybody keep you from that atmosphere, because there's some things that are taught, and then there's some things that are caught. You can't catch the flu from somebody that's not around you with it. And you need to catch some faith, not the flu, by being in the atmosphere of that. Now, I'm going to give you some principles because this is a book simply about faith. This is a teaching simply about faith. This is an understanding to break down faith for the children in the room, the people that just don't really understand all of these things. I'm trying to go as elementary as I can with this so that we can all be able to grow from the same spot and be able to receive something from the Lord. So I'm going to give you things to write down and help you to be able to see them. I will not teach you anything that is not in the Bible. Now, I may give you stories of us using our faith or being able to receive by faith, but I will not teach you any principle that is not in the Word of God. You will be able to go home like the Berean church did with the disciples, go home and study it further. In fact, I encourage you to do it. You might want to even start a little Bible study at your job or something called a faith study or something like that with a bunch of folks at lunchtime, just to be able to help them to understand. Just take the notes from what you learned here and use those and then add what God puts in your heart to be able to have as well. All right? So this is important. Now, I'm going to give you a statement right now, and please either write it down or just note it. Faith, a faith lifestyle, is a lifestyle of God's rich and famous. Now, I'm going to say some things that are going to be able to go against your religion, okay, if you're religious, or go against the traditions of men, which they speak against the church. The Bible says the traditions of men make the word of God of none effect. So some of the things that I will teach you, like I just gave you a statement, I will show it to you in the Bible. Because we need to know that when you come into faith, God does not want you to remain destitute in any way. Because you're dealing with the God of the universe. The God of the heavens and the earth, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're dealing with the God that created everything that we can see and those things that we do not. So faith, that lifestyle, and I call it a lifestyle, and you got to buy off on faith as a lifestyle. It's not something you visit on Sunday morning at 10:30. Faith is a lifestyle. You begin to live a certain way. You give up a certain way of living, a certain lifestyle, and you pick up the lifestyle of faith. So we need examples on how to be able to live. Whatever you do as a lifelong career, whatever it is that you go into, you're usually matched up with someone that's already living that. Whether it's an attorney, a physician, even military men and women. I know certainly for pilots myself, you can't fly without, I probably had almost 100 instructors, flight instructors. Now I'm a flight instructor myself, but I almost had maybe 100, probably about 25, maybe 30 in helicopter and about 70 in airplane and jets and that kind of stuff. And I have to be able to listen to these people. And sometimes when you solo on whatever it is that you're going to do, you can hear the voice of your teacher. I remember soloing helicopter for the very first time at Scappoose, which is right outside of Portland, Vancouver, at an airport that's not used a whole lot, but I was flying with this guy that was from Germany, and he was my instructor. You know, helicopters actually really developed very strongly from Germany, and many times the German government will cause certain folks to go into certain careers, and he was going to flight school here. Anyhow, and I remember him allowing me to fly with him or fly him to that airport. And then we landed on the runway, just set down from a hover to the runway. And he said, "I'm going to get out of the helicopter now. And I want you to fly the pattern, go around this airport and come back, land and pick me up." I'm telling you, I took off, I started flying, I started turning to go to the crosswind, and then come down to the downwind to take the base and then make final. But I could hear his voice, that German voice in my head. Don't turn your head. Let go of the collective. It's too tight. Hold on to the cyclic. Okay, let's bring it back. We've got to slow down. I heard him. I heard who had become like a father to me, speaking into my life, even though he wasn't there. See, and this is what we have to get, a lifestyle of this. And a lot of us have made Christianity, and I dare say definitely faith, a hobby. A weekend hobby, sort of like getting an opportunity to hit a golf ball every once in a while. Or playing softball with your friends. Or a pickup basketball game. That is not what faith is. Faith is a way of living. The Bible says it in several places, we'll see it, that the just shall live by faith. Now, let's go to the origin of faith. Faith, as I alluded earlier in the service, did not start with the Jews and the Jewish law. Faith started with one man, Abraham, who later had a child named Isaac, and also Jacob. Jacob became Israel and had 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. It wasn't Israel, but it was changed to Israel because he fought with an angel. But the angel caused him to be, this is how the angel, he was fighting so much with this angel for a blessing until the only way the angel could get away from him was to be able to touch his hip and cause him to no longer be able to walk straight again. So for the rest of his life, he was known because he wrestled with an angel and he lost. See, sometimes we wrestle with God and we limp in life. We limp down the street. We limp in our finances. We limp with marriage after marriage or relationship after relationship. We limp with depression. We limp with all these different things. And we're trying to fight God. But this man fought God because he wanted to be blessed. Sometimes we fight to get away from the blessing. Now, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 12 tribes, out of there comes name change, Israel. But actually, faith started with the first one, Abram or Abraham. He is known as the father of faith. He is the one that believed what God said, and that caused a thing called faith to be birthed. The first time we really hear about someone using faith is Abraham, because he was an old man. And as an old man, God gave him a promise, because back then it wasn't that people wanted to abort a child, they wanted children. They wanted to have as many children as possible, especially men, males. If they could have a male child, they were very blessed because of a number of reasons. They had someone to pass down all of their goods to. Not only that, they had plenty of labor, plenty of help. The male child was going to help with the family, help to be able to take care of all of the different things that need to be taken care of in that household. God wanted Abraham to have a child. Abraham and his wife, Sarah, they could not have a child. She was barren. And he came to God when God came to him, and we'll see this. And God promised him that he would have a child. And by faith, he believed that, even though he was almost 100 years old. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen very many 100-year-old men having a baby or 90-year-old women pregnant. I knew Sister Shada was going to chime in on that one. We are done. We did our three. All three of those children. on the planet are from this woman right here. I watched them come forth. And so we're done, even though I'm only 71. You could reverse that, of course, if you want. Just kidding. Okay, so faith is a lifestyle. Say faith is a lifestyle. Write that down. It is the lifestyle of God's rich and famous, rich and famous, rich and famous. Why do I say that? Please write this down also. This is a very important statement. Fathers are to be followed. We need good fathers in this country. We're missing them. Fathers are here to be followed. If you're a father, I salute you. I say praise God for you. I pray you're living a life that your children can follow. Fathers are to be followed. Abraham, or Abram, as we'll see here now in a couple of minutes, I got to give explanations. Here's what the Lord said to me concerning it. He said, you need to do some explaining. There's some explaining you need to do. So I want to take the time to explain. Fathers are to be followed as good examples. Now, there are places where this is in Scripture, and I'll give you Genesis chapter 18. God came to Abraham through the angels, and the reason why the angels were going to tell Abraham what was going to happen with Sodom and Gomorrah, because he said, I know him. I know what he's going to raise his children like. That's how the man was known. Men, you are known by how you treat your children, how you treat your spouse, how upstanding you are in the community. We are to be followed. Say, we are to be followed. Come on, brother. Say, we are to be followed. Come on, we are to be followed. See? And so we should live an upstanding life where our children can follow us. Now, you're not perfect, but I hate giving that caveat anyhow, because you don't need that. Just conduct yourself like you are going for perfection. Sisters, you should be amen in this. I don't know what's wrong with you. I guess we want our men to be able to be followed. Amen? Okay, so Abraham is known as the father of faith. Then if we're going to be children of Abraham, we have to learn how we are to be conducting ourselves like Abraham did. Because he was the father. He was the father. He is the father. Now, of course, we follow Jesus' word, but an earthly example on this earth is Abraham of how to live by faith. Faith is so important until God will not be pleased without it. It's impossible to please God without faith. Now, there's a hookup equation that God gave to me concerning this, because it sounds like God just is looking to be pleased, but you got to understand this. And the Spirit of the Lord, let me go ahead and give this part to you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, whatever you're hoping for, faith is used to bring it. Hope has no substance, no material. So if you're just hoping, you are hopeless. If you just hope, because hope has no action to it. Hope only has thought to it. You're wishing, you're hoping. Hope by itself has no ability to produce. But you can't get to faith without carrying first my hope. So my hope is what causes me to go to use my faith. Faith causes me to commit actions. So if the just shall live by faith,
Number one, we should not be hopeless. Number two, we should use our faith. We should be a faith person. Faith, go to Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I just quoted that. Hope for. It is the evidence of things not seen. So whatever you cannot see in the physical, you need to hope for it first. But hope will never get it to you. Hope will tell you it's possible. You have to use faith. It's the substance of things I hope. I'm hoping to be healed. But faith is going to bring healing to me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We were hoping to build a building. But it took faith to be able to cause it to come to pass. Faith caused us to do certain things, to commit some actions, to do some things, to make things happen. Now watch this. Go to verse number four. Go to verse six. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot have a good relationship with God and please him without what we're teaching. You got to have faith. Now watch. If faith is a substance thing hoped for and God doesn't get pleased unless you got faith, what he's really trying to do is to keep you in hope. I'll say it again. If faith pleases God, but you can't have faith without having hope to start having faith, then what God is really trying to do is to keep you out of hopelessness. I'll say it another way. Hopeless people are not using faith. Write this down. Hopeless people are dangerous. You find a criminal sitting in jail with no hope. As soon as they get out, they're dangerous. Because they have nothing to hope for. God doesn't want to leave you in a hopeless situation. So he ties you pleasing him to your hope. Which you got to use faith in order for your hope to come. And the most hopeless people are people that act like zombies, just walk around and I don't know if I'm going to get anything. I don't know if anything's going to help. Now listen, that is not how we're supposed to live, especially as believers. We should be fired up about the vision that God has for our lives. Fired up that I'm believing, I'm receiving. I don't have it yet, but I'm believing. Well, you got hope. It's burning on the inside. Faith is working on the outside. I'm working my faith. First thing I'm saying, I know people think I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, I'm going to receive so-and-so, such-and-such. I believe I'm going to receive so-and-so, such. I believe. That's my faith. Not, I have so-and-so, such-and-such. You don't have nothing yet but faith and hope. But without hope, you don't need faith. Without faith, you can't please God. So God ties even pleasing him to you having hope and using your faith. So you can't be pleasing God and be hopeless. I'm going to break it down further. There is no way there should be a hopeless Christian. Ain't nobody love me. Nobody care for me. Did you get born again? Yeah, but you know, that takes time for it to work. No, faith takes time. Salvation is instant. Once you got saved, you had hope. And you got faith because you had to have faith to get saved. You used that measure of faith to launch off. And now what you need to start doing, and see, because what happens is that as Christians, we become passive. We get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, that with the burning fire, we are excited about the Lord. Woo, glory to God, glory to God. Then after a while, we get a few victories, get the job we always been looking for, marry the woman we always been looking for, or the man that you've been looking for, he comes and says, yes, I do, and you do too. And then we go and get the car we're looking for, and go get the house we're looking for, and then after a while, we just, you know, there's no need for hope. So you don't need faith. You're a dead Christian. And the woods are full of them. They stop dreaming. God stops giving them visions because they're not going to do anything with it anyhow. You should be more excited than me. I am not your cheerleader. You should come in here praising God, so excited, fighting for your chair. You should come in here saying, who can I tell about what God did this week? Can you listen for a minute? Oh, you ushering. Can I talk to you? We should be so excited about life. We should not be hopeless looking people. We should not be, I'll say it again so you can clap this time. We should not be hopeless looking people. Yeah, okay. I'll pay you for that one. So if he's the father of faith, then we should follow the father because fathers are to be followed. But most of us, we don't know much about Abraham. We know more about the Jewish leaders that came after Jesus. We study know about what they did, the evil things that they did. See, because like I said, if you are not physically tied to the Jews, of course you can be one that's a proselyte, you know, become a Jew or call yourself or believe like a Jew. But physically, if you're not a Jew, you are never considered a child or one of the children of Israel. You're a children of Abraham. You bypass Israel to be able to get to faith, because faith is how you got in that family. I'm going to say it again. Faith is how you got into the Jewish family. You are Jewish, but only on the spiritual side. Because all the blessings that are coming to mankind are coming out of Abraham. What do you think the fight is over in Israel? Over in Iran? Iraq? Over in, now we got Qatar tied to it. Got the AU, got all these different countries tied to a fight over Abraham's illegitimate child, Ishmael, because he didn't use his faith. Sarah made a suggestion. I know you're old. We haven't had a child. I got a maid. I ain't gonna say nothing, just go. And he was like, oh, okay. That's the war in Iran. It's a family fight. And it's been going on for thousands of years because Abraham fell out of faith, which is an example for us too. He fell out of faith and went to the flesh. Write it down, flesh and faith are opposites. If you're living by the flesh, everything's got to be what you see. Everything's got to be smelling good, looking good, blah, 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 before you believe it. You are living in the flesh. Faith don't care what they see. Faith cares about what God is pleased with. All right? Let's go now to Genesis 12 and 1. Are y'all getting anything out of this? You're looking at like a cow looking at a new gate. I don't know. Will it open or not? Yeah, this gate opens. Genesis 12 and 1. Let's go to the origin here of what I've been talking about. Now the Lord has said. Who said? That is very key. Faith in God must be tied to what God said. If God didn't say it, you ain't operating in God's faith.
Now, there was no Bible written right now for Abram. He is just hearing God, which tells us we really should develop a relationship to hear God. Well, I don't know. I never hear from God. But you hear from the devil. How's it that you hear from the God of this world when he tells you to do stupid stuff? Go drink. Smoke some more reefer. I ain't going to say that because y'all think I'm too old when I say that. Smoke more joints. Take more drugs. Drink and drive. Commit fornication. Have adultery going on. The devil told you to do that, and your flesh agreed with it. So you got to realize somebody's talking to you, and sometimes you're listening. You had to, don't lie to me. You had the enemy tell you, just rob the bank. Or you can take that money out of the till. Ain't nobody going to care. Or go ahead, take the stapler from the office. That's why you got 16 staplers at home. Now the Lord has said, who said? The Lord has said, they got the company stamp under the bottom, but you always keep them right side up. Now the Lord had said, who said? Now I'm gonna break this down very slowly, so I wanna make sure we get each piece of this out of it. The Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. So that's nationalism. Get away from that. From your family. That's Winky and all the rest of them. Okay? And from your father's house. That's where you're living. To a land. Underline that now. To a land. It is a place that I will show you. He's not going to show everybody else. He's going to show you. There are some blessings that God wants to give just to you. But you got to get it through a relationship like Abraham. Remember, fathers should be the ones that are teaching us, or we should be learning from our father. So here he had a relationship with God. Number one thing, write it down. I must increase my level of relationship with God. I must. Last Sunday, our first lady taught a powerful word about the secret place. She delivered a word that was so powerful. In fact, I was dinking around in the house, getting ready to go to prayer in my office, where I normally go to my office to pray. And the Lord said, that is not your secret house, the secret place. It's not your secret place. I got one computer over here that I use for aviation. I got another computer over here that I use for calendars and all kinds of different things over here. I got another computer over here that I use for writing my books. I got my iPad over here that I have all the teachings that I have on. I have another spare iPad to go along with the aviation so I can be able to see the map of where I am flying in the world if I'm using my simulator. I have a phone that sits there that I try to turn off to make sure nobody calls me. And I go in there and try to sit there and pray. And the Lord said, this is not a secret place. So he showed me a secret place, and I have fixed that place up. Woo! I got it fixed up, got a plush chair in there, got me a table where I can write, got all my Bibles, got some music. And I'm telling you, I have cried a bucket of tears already. Because I got a new secret place. I got a new place where I can go and not be distracted. Oh, that's beeping over there. Ooh, that's just, oh, somebody just texted me. We need to hear from God. Get rid of your country. Not leave it, but just don't make it priority when you get in this relationship with God. Your family. Even your daddy's house, your father's house, to a place that I will show you. That's what Abraham was told. Now, Abraham's father was not a godly man. So he couldn't stay with his father and be blessed. Just like Lot was not godly. Do you remember the pillar of salt? That was Lot's wife. She loved all the stuff going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. She loved it to the point where she turned her heart back around when they were leaving and escaping the fire and brimstone. And she looked with such a heart that God said, that's it. You become a pillar of salt. And if you go over to that area, which we've been to, you will find this pillar of salt that's all of a sudden in this place close to the Dead Sea. It's her. They found it. And see, that's how some of us are. We're so distracted. We can't get from God what he has because we're too busy with what we've got. I don't have time to hope. I'm hoarding what I got. What do I need more of? So you can't please God because you don't have hope, so you don't use faith, so who cares? God sits there and he misses you every day. You're never going to the secret place because there's nothing to get. As far as we're concerned, we're Christian. We've got everything we need. No, you don't, because God wants to do more in your life than bless you. He wants you, as we'll read in a couple of sessions from now, we'll read that we are to be blessed to be a blessing. God ain't thinking about you. He's already blessed you. He's trying to bless you so you can be a blessing. This thing ain't done until you're being a blessing, not being blessed. People walking, God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. You are blessed. How about God bless somebody else through me? How about can I become a blessing? How can I bless people? What can I do to help somebody today? How can I be able to bless somebody today? What can I give to help somebody? What can I tell somebody? I didn't study this to know it myself. God had me study this so that I could bless you. He had you on his mind, not me. You're the reason receiving that you're receiving this, because God was thinking about you, not me. A land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will bless you. That includes everything with one blessing. And make your name great. I told you, rich and the famous. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, Abraham, all the Christians of the, oops, no, it doesn't say that. All the Catholic, oops, it doesn't say that. In you, Abraham, all the Pentecostals, nope, it doesn't say that. All the Church of God in Christ, no, it doesn't say the Church of God in Christ. All the Baptists, no, it doesn't say, Methodists, they have Presbyterians. The frozen chosen. No, sir. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's how important what we're studying is. What God is putting on you is not just for you. You are blessed to be. I said you are blessed to be. You live like this, you can't stay the same. You will not stay the same. You get this faith in you, it's going to change you and everybody around you, and some people you don't even know, because you will be blessed to be, because the Father is here to teach the children. And we're going to find out what the Father got. He got fame. We already see that. See, God wants to give you fame. It's not negative. It's just Hollywood that screws it up. Fame is not negative. Jesus was famous. Well, but Pastor, what do you want? You want to be famous? Listen, if I wanted to be famous, I wouldn't have got out of radio and television, okay? If I was looking for fame, I would have stayed in secular television and radio where, you know, all the people are, not just the Christian realm. Because there's a whole bunch of people look at Christians on television and go, eh. I was looking to please God, not to get fame. Well, Pastor, did you come become a pastor so you could be rich? I was rich before I was a pastor. I quit my rich positions. I stopped my businesses to do this. So that's not there. But God will restore. He's not going to be outdone by the world. If he takes you out of something, he's going to put you into something better. He pulls you out. He did not take, I'll say this and we're done. He did not take the children of Israel out of Egypt to put them in a worse place. God wants to put you in a place where nobody's beating your back. Nobody's whipping you like slaves. He wants to put you in a blessed area. where people will know your name and know what character you're all about, to where you will give him glory just because they learn who you are. Let's give God some praise and let's thank God. That's all we got time for today. Let's thank him for it in Jesus' name. Now let's make a confession, because that's how we begin in faith, because Abraham had to say what God said. And you're going to have to say what God says. You can't just say what you feel. That's not faith. We all sometimes feel like a nut. Sometimes we don't. So we need to stand up and say what we believe, not what we feel. Because some people feel real good right now. Like, I feel great. I feel like I can fly over this building without wings. But that don't make no difference. Tomorrow, who knows what people going to feel like. Stand up, everybody. Let's make a confession. Come on. Put your hands up and just surrender to God. That's what putting your hands up means, right? Surrender. Put your hands up. Now, if you can do this, then you're following by faith. Say, God, I believe faith is the lifestyle for me. Help me to live this life. To not only be blessed, but to be a blessing in my realm of life, my sphere of life. Help me, God, to be able to be well known for you working in my life. God, I take on this challenge to be like Father Abraham, to stand on your word, to believe it, confess it, receive it. In Jesus' name. God, today, the old me is going away. There's a new me built by faith coming forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. You're victorious. You are victorious.